As a homeschooling mother of five, I'm so tired of the network's liberal slant, even in the fair and balanced news, that I really enjoy listening to Bob Enyart present current events from a biblical perspective. For example, Daniel obeyed God, even as a government official. So what should we and our Christian leaders learn from that? Please support Bob Enyart Live, spread the word, and consider ordering Bob's great Bible materials, available online at kgov.com, where you can also listen to his program, like I do, at the most convenient time for you. That's at kgov.com. Enjoy!
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, and I'm thrilled to be here with you today. Let's pray. Lord, you are such a great God in the book that you've given us to learn from, to study. We know that it reveals you in such a majestic way, and it, Lord, it also teaches us so much about how we are to live, and we ask you to humble us, to put aside our own ideas and preconceived notions. Lord, that you would help me to clear my mind of things that are false and wrong, things that I've believed or even taught, and that you would help me to be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you so much that we know that you care about us and you care about what we do here today. And we ask your blessing on it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis, the fall. In this study, we'll be looking at the fall of mankind when sin entered the world, the cosmos, and not only the fall, but then the resultant pain and death. But how much time passed from the creation until sin entered the world? People wonder about that. Was it hundreds of years, a decade, a few years, few months, few minutes? How long was it? So let's start in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." So of course he's passing the buck, blaming his wife. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So she passed the buck. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So God placed Adam and Eve into a perfect creation, a beautiful world. They were physically perfect. They had unimaginable pleasures that they would experience throughout eternity, fellowshipping with one another and God. But all that changed when death entered the universe entered the world suddenly, how much time passed? How many hours or days, weeks, months, years of enjoyment did they experience between the creation and the fall? Well, if we're careful, we might be able to draw more information out of these early chapters of Genesis than men normally derive from a casual reading. Adam and Eve lived in this beautiful paradise, and not only earth, but even the heavens were in a glorious state. Because what did we read when we covered the section on Genesis, the creation series, which covered chapters 1 and 2? We looked at Genesis 2, verse 1, where it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." The heavens and the earth and all the host of... God did all His creative work, and it was finished. And when it says the heavens and all the host of them, we went through the Bible and looked at verses. We could have gone on for quite a while. We just looked at a sampling where when the Bible talks about the host of heaven, the heavenly host, the host of the heavens, and if we need to get a couple more chairs, Alfred, maybe you could help with that. Does the Bible refer to the stars or does it refer to angels? And we saw examples when the Bible says the host of heaven that sometimes it's referring to angels, other times stars, other times it's difficult. There are contexts where it seems to be referring to both and bouncing back and forth. So when the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, we know that that means that He created everything. In fact, from Exodus 20, we see that God created everything in these 6 days of creation. We dispelled the gap theory because there was no prior creation and then a recreation. But in 6 days, we're told in the Ten Commandments, God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. And everything in them would include animals and plants and mankind and the living creatures that are around the throne of God in heaven, and the angels. So we know that the heavens and earth were created, but one verse prior to that one, the last verse of Genesis 1, it says that God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So He saw that all was very good. Everything God made, including the universe, stars, sun, moon, earth, angels, animals, plants, man, it was all really good. And so He rested the seventh day. Now that rest came after He had created. He made man and woman on the sixth day, as we read in Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image," and He created them, verse 27, male and female, He created them. Now we know that He created Adam, and then Adam noticed he was alone, and then later that day he made Eve. So after he did all that, he rested. Now chapter 2 is like a mini flashback, and it goes back and it adds a few details. It adds a few details about the creation of Adam, the creation of Eve, and the garden, and how they were placed in the garden. And then it ends with verse 22, tells us the end of Genesis 2, that the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam, He made into a woman. And verse 23, Adam said, "She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Verse 24, God explains that a man shall leave his father and mother and the two will be joined. He'll be joined to his wife and they shall be one flesh. And verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So this all, chapter 2 basically is a flashback to some of the details happening in chapter 1. And there's no indication whatsoever after the creation that any sin or rebellion or wickedness had entered the cosmos, the world, the universe. Everything looks really good up to this point. The first indication of trouble we have is in chapter 3. By the 15th verse of chapter 3, all hell broke loose. Things got really bad. So how much time had passed? How long was it before sin entered the cosmos? Well, we can be certain it was a very short period of time. And we can reasonably assume that it was less than 7 days. 7 days or less. Now, how in the world could we assume that? Well, let's talk about it. It's fun. Did Adam and Eve have any children prior to the fall? By a nodding of heads, yes or no, could I see in the group? All no's, no yeses, and this is the brightest Bible study audience, yes, in southern Denver. Because Bob Hill is here, the pastor of a church in the north end of Denver. In his Sunday school class, probably would edge us out just a bit. But everybody says no, Adam and Eve did not have children before the fall. No, they did not. Given the history of the world and the record of that history in the Bible, it's unthinkable to suppose that they had a child before they sinned. The first mention of Eve conceiving is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and then she gave birth to Cain. And Cain, as the story makes clear, being conceived after the fall, inherited sinful flesh from his father Adam. Not the skin on his bones, that's not what I'm talking about right now, but that tendency to sin, the flesh, that we all deal with. If they would have conceived a child prior to the fall, then he would have been a sinless human being. However, Paul writes that all have sinned. Every human being has sinned except for Christ. In just two verses I'd like to read quickly, Romans 5, verse 12, and then 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Romans 5, 12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So Adam sinned, and then death spread to all men. Spread. And the idea there is he started it, and then it went on down through subsequent generations. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, which I'll get to in just a moment here. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So everyone, all the human race, effectively died in Adam. And those two verses just give us additional evidence, which we don't really need anyway, to see that Adam and Eve did not conceive prior to the fall. Now, do you think Adam and Eve would have had trouble conceiving? Would they have had to visit a fertility clinic, perhaps? Not likely. God made them physically perfect. Now, how much time would have passed before they began to have physical relations? Remember this. That was before television was invented. Okay? And, by the way, it was the first NFL kickoff would not come for another 5,936 years. So how much time would have passed? Not only those factors, but consider that God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, and it seems that they would eagerly have obeyed God prior to being alienated from Him. So God says, be fruitful and multiply. Also, they did not have any clothing. So I'd say we could put a likely outside limit on how long before Adam sinned. It would have been before Eve would have conceived a child. That's about how long it would have been. Now let's think about that. How, in what condition, in what state would God make Adam and Eve? And then we could see, you know, perhaps something was unusual. Adam might have gone out on a journey to explore and left Eve at home. Unlikely. But human beings being what they are, how long was it likely before they would have conceived? In what state would God make Adam and Eve? Well, think about it. When God made Adam, how about his stomach, his digestive system? Do you think he would have had a banana and nut muffin in his stomach mixed with digestive juices at the moment of creation? It seems unlikely. Do you think Adam would have been starving, just totally starving the moment he was created? Anybody by shaking of heads think he'd be starving? Again, everybody's saying no. It seems that God would have made Adam content. He would have come into awareness. His conscience would have kicked in. He looked around, communicated with God, and he would probably have felt incredibly content. So it seems that God wouldn't have made him hungry, but his body would be filled with fuel, the kind of nutritious fuel that he would need to perform his bodily functions and move around. He was created content. And then over the next few hours, he would notice a growing emptiness in his stomach. His body would urge him to act upon God's words, God's gift of every tree whose fruit yields seed. And he would have thought about the Lord saying, "So it shall be food for you." And he would have gone out then, naturally, the way humans would do when they get hungry, and start eating. In like manner, his mind and body would instinctively bring Adam toward intimacy with his wife. When sin entered the world, some aspects of our life and our bodies even biologically changed somewhat, but not completely, not totally. We didn't mutate into different kinds of creatures. We were the same creation, but with some effect. God directly changed one thing biologically that he tells us that we'll get to later in Genesis 3. Other physiological changes came about indirectly because of degenerative disease and the effects of sin. But the things that were changed for a reason, and they make sense, as we'll see. But not everything changed. And certainly at the fall, our bodies didn't get better. They obviously did not get better at the fall. For example, eating would have occurred before and after the fall. Most likely sleeping would have occurred. Sleep is a pleasure, and God made the earth dark for a good number of hours over the night, and most likely Adam and Eve would have lied down and slept. How about procreation? Would it have worked basically the same way that it works today? Well, it's in the procreative system that God made his one change that he explained after the fall. It's in that system he made a change, and we'll talk about that when we get there. But other than that, it appears that God designed the basic system that we have of reproduction from the start, and it works today as he designed it to work, except not as well because of the effects of sin. Almost all living creatures, not only man, but almost all living creatures have the same basic system. The female of the species has ovaries which contain eggs. And those ovaries release the egg on a cycle. It's either an annual cycle, like with sheep, or a more rapid cycle, like with many animals, are on a monthly cycle. Human beings, on average, are on a 28-day cycle. And the body prepares the uterus, the female body, to receive a fertilized egg. Once an egg was released in ovulation, the uterus has been prepared to receive that egg by making it vascular. These glands, tubular glands, get filled with a lot of blood. The uterus lining is filled with blood and fluids, and preparing it to receive this fertilized egg, if that will happen. If the egg is fertilized, then it will be implanted and gestation will begin for a certain period of time, depending on how God made each species, until birth. If it's not fertilized, the egg, then it will pass through, preparing the way for the next cycle to kick in when the next egg ripens. And so during the ovulation process, and that's how God designed it to work in all animals and most likely in human beings. Man has the sperm, the woman has the egg. let's talk about the timing in that system, right? What is the cycle? A woman's normal menstrual cycle is on a 28-day rotational series, every 28 days. That's normal, according to the textbooks. And most women are on somewhat of that normal cycle, although there's variations. When does the cycle begin? If you ask a woman who's observed her body and who's perhaps been trying to get pregnant or not get pregnant, and ask an OBGYN, when does the cycle begin, you're always told the first day of the period. That's when it begins. But if you read a textbook or talk to a doctor at a more technical level, they'll say that's not really when it begins, that's when it ends. Because that period, since the egg was not fertilized and had not implanted, then the body flushes that inner lining of the uterus, and it had been prepared for the fertilized egg. It never happened. So all that is flushed out, and the uterus then is re-prepared to receive a new egg. And it's pretty neat the way it all happens. The hypothalamus, which is the region of the brain that kicks off that whole process. Remember the homosexuals said the hypothalamus proves they were born homosexual? Not true. Turned out to be completely false. A guy named LeVay did the research on that. He said that you could look at homosexual brains, and he had heterosexual and homosexual brains. The heterosexual brains were very easy to come by. But a pound of homosexual brains, very expensive, about $10,000 a pound. Heterosexual brains were only like $20 a pound. And if you wonder why, you know how many homosexuals you got to go through to get a pound of brains? It's a very, very expensive process. But anyway, what he said back in the early to mid-90s was, and he was a homosexual researcher, he cut up these brains, looked at the hypothalamus, and said, look, the homosexual men have a smaller hypothalamus, and the heterosexual people had a larger region of the brain, that little region. As though the size, as though if your pituitary gland was a little bigger or smaller, it would change your life. But what he said, he promised that many researchers would confirm his findings. And since that date, what's it been, 4 years, 5 years? Not a single researcher has confirmed his findings because his findings were fraudulent. His name was LeVay. The more infamous LeVay was Anton Sandor LeVay, who wrote the Satanic Bible, and he's since found out you should not write your own Bible. Well, he passed away on, it was Halloween of last year, 1997. But this guy, I think he was Simon LeVay, a homosexual, trying to prove that it was okay that he disobeyed God. But his efforts failed. Anyway, the hypothalamus talks to the pituitary gland and says, release some hormones. Release some hormones, and it does. It releases these hormones, gonadotropic hormones, and the blood supply takes them to the ovaries, and the ovaries start a process. They begin to ripen this egg in preparation for ovulation, and they release these other hormones that tell the uterus, hey, get ready, because there might be a fertilized egg that will be implanted. And so this endometrium, these little tubular glands, they dramatically change in the lining of the uterus, and they're getting ready to receive this egg. Now, if fertilization does occur, you can't tell any difference in that endometrium at that point in the menstrual cycle compared to early pregnancy, because it's the same, because that's the body preparing to nurture this new life. But if it doesn't implant a fertilized egg, then hormones kick in and they start to change the process, and they say, okay, now we have to change the uterus because we were totally ready with nutrition and everything was set to begin a new life, but now it's not happening. So let's get ready to redo the cycle. And all that inside lining, that endometrium begins to break down and passes through, and then the whole process starts all over again. And every animal, every species on Earth practically, it goes through that cycle. All right. So that's the way it normally works. Now, so when is the beginning of the cycle? It's not the first day of the period. That's the end. The beginning of the cycle is when the uterus begins to build up the nutrition that it will need and the environment it needs to receive an implanted egg, a fertilized egg. That's the beginning of the cycle. So when does ovulation occur? Well, the first day of the period, 14 days later. And the normal period is 5 days. So that leaves 9 days. 9 days from the beginning of the cycle to ovulation, when a woman could become pregnant. So that's 9 days. So if God created Eve, at just fresh start, here you are, Eve, you're newly created, all your bodily functions are ready to kick in. What would be the first thing that would happen? Well, most likely the hypothalamus would say, hey, pituitary gland, get those hormones cranking because we want to reproduce. The pituitary gland would release the hormones, get the ovaries going, the egg would begin to ripen as the uterus is being prepared to receive a fertilized egg. Now, so if that happened on the day that Eve was created, let's see. She's created on the sixth day, and then 9 days later, she could become pregnant. All right? So 6 plus 9 is 15. How long does a man's sperm live in the woman? A couple days it'll live. So if Adam and Eve have had intercourse before they sinned and then fell the next day, that would really be a confusing situation for them. And there's biblical material on that topic that we'll get to later in this study. But I'm going to skip that for now. The egg and the seed and the passing of sin from the parents, and what biblical material is there on that topic. We'll put that off for now, but we'll stick with these days for now. So Eve's created on the sixth day. By the ninth day, she could be pregnant. Adam's seed could stay within her for a couple days. That brings us back to the seventh day, the seventh day after Eve was created. All right, that's the outer limit of when Adam and Eve could have fallen, when they could have sinned, if everything would work as God had designed it to work, and if human beings would behave the way human beings could be expected.
Let me break in and interrupt my own message. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you have enjoyed this message so far, I invite you to go online to our website, kgov.com, and send a link to a friend so they could listen to it online, or you can subscribe to our monthly sermons. That's where you would get a CD in the mail about the middle of each month, and you'll enjoy the 4 sermons from the pulpit of Denver Bible Church for that month. Of course, you can also subscribe to our monthly 8 Best of Bob radio shows, or our monthly Bible album, where you receive an entire album of Bible study on the different books of the Bible and different topics. So all that is available at KGov online at kgov.com, or by calling us at 800-8-NYARDS. That's 800-836-9278. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.